Father, that's been our anthem, Lord, for 30 years. Lord, we just want to have more of your heart love. We'll see more of your kingdom power. And Father, even as we celebrate these last 30 years of seeing, Lord, just your love poured out and your power released, we're asking again today for more. We're asking that the best days of Grace Community Church are ahead of us, not behind us. We ask that this next chapter, Lord, is a chapter full of more love and more power. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to our 30th year anniversary service. Actually, we've been ramping up now for a month to the service. We've been taking time to remember. And the reason we've been doing that is we see clearly in the Bible that the people of God have a tendency to forget. To forget God's faithfulness in the past. And when you do that, you don't trust him to come through in the present. We saw time and time again that God would tell his people to just stop. Before you go to the next step, the next phase, the next chapter, stop and take some time to remember. Take some time to commemorate what God has done. Because when we do that, it causes faith to rise up in us. As we remember his faithfulness in the past, faith rises up to believe him for the present. And sometimes God would instruct his people to set up memorials to help them remember. One of the memorials we looked at was when, after Moses had died, Joshua was now leading Israel to the promised land. When they get to the river Jordan, which was in flood stage, God does a miracle and causes the waters to cease to stack up on one side so Israel could pass over the River Jordan on dry ground. But then God instructs Israel to send back 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, back to that dry riverbank now, each take a stone from there, and come and build a memorial. And it says there, in Joshua chapter 4, it says, "And when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You'll tell them that God caused the River Jordan to stop and Israel passed through on dry ground." It was a memorial to tell your children that God was faithful in the past. It was a way to, as a visual, to see God's faithfulness and realize he came through in the past. We can trust him to come through now. And we looked at another memorial. It was during the days of the prophet Samuel. The Philistines were coming against Israel. Israel calls out upon the Lord. The Lord delivers Israel from the Philistines and then instructs Samuel to lead the people of Israel in setting up a memorial. They were to take this large stone. It was called the Ebenezer. Ebenezer literally means stone of help. It was a large stone. It was a memorial to every time they saw that stone, they would remember, thus far the Lord has helped us. And the whole point of that is remembering that God has helped us in the past causes us to trust him for the present time challenges. Well, this morning, since we're coming to this is our 30-year anniversary, we're remembering that thus far for 30 years, the Lord has helped us. So we're setting up a bit of a memorial, and I'm about to unveil our Ebenezer stone here in just a moment. Now, before I do that, I want to tell you what it is and what it isn't. What it is simply a memorial. It's not an idol. It doesn't have power if you touch it. It is to remind us that God has been faithful to keep all his promises to us in the past. So we can trust him now for our present challenges, and we'll be able to trust him in the days forward. In fact, a couple, Kent and Kathy Judiman in our church, have worked so hard on this. And I just want them, the communion tables, the offering tables, anything, this cross, all the beautiful things done in this church pretty much have been done by Kent and Kathy Judiman. And I just want to honor them. So you guys stand where you're at. Bring the house lights up. Just give them a hand. Now, Tracy, come on up here, and we'll take the Darth Vader disguise off of the Ebenezer stone. And the reason we put it right here is because this is where, after every service, we have prayer for people. And as people come for prayer, we want them to see this stone to remember, wait a second, God has healed so many people in the past, he can heal you. He's delivered so many people in the past, he can deliver you. He has released revelation and prophetic words to so many here in the past, he can speak to you. So that's simply a reminder. And this stone, Kent and Kathy found it, is some of the hardest material on earth because we wanted it to be something to remind the strength of our God. But also all the woodwork was done with wood from Kent's family land. But there's the verse that's carved in glass in the back that says, it's the verse out of Samuel that says, thus far God has helped us. Amen. Thus far the Lord has helped us. And so we're going to just leave that on this morning for the rest of our service and just remembering all that God has done. But remember the purpose of memorials is to trust him for what you're going through right now. And we're trusting him for the future. He is going to come through. Even if he's delaying on answering your prayer, it's not over yet. God will keep all his promises and God will come through. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to go ahead and begin to show you some testimonies. And I thank you guys for all of you that went across to the Life Center during these last few weeks to give a testimony on camera. And we have so many testimonies, we can't put them all in one service, but all of them are on our website at gracearlington.com. But we have a portion of them today, a sampling, and here's our first section.
The decade of 1987 to 1997 was when we had our three kids. Try not to cry. We had three kids, and Paul was first in 1989. I had to be on bed rest with all three of them. I had so many contractions. But we prayed, we had friends come over and help me out with meals, especially when we got to number three. I had to be on bed rest for 4 months. But we had Paul, Nathan, and then Sharon. But Paul we were worried about because we didn't know when he was born how he would be. But God was so faithful, and he's taken care of all three of my children and given me such beautiful, healthy children. And they've all become believers, and I'm just so thankful to God in this church. Gary speaks God's word, and he has the whole time.
I have been at Grace since 1995. I remember the first Sunday I walked into Grace. I had been going to churches for years, heavily involved in my last church, and I had a friend just say, just come once, just come try it. And so I did. I walked into Grace on August 27th, 1995, and I haven't left. I was so moved and impacted by the Spirit of God being here. And it was one of the first times that not only did I hear the word of the Lord, but I felt the Lord move. And it just impacted me so much that I never wanted to leave. And I have been blessed to just raise our family here, meet my husband here. But more importantly, I have been so blessed by the Lord's presence and his continual provision for my life and his loving kindness as he guides me and changes me and grows me along this journey of our life.
A few months after we were here, less than a year, we adopted our first child, Rachel. And then a little bit later in 1995, we adopted our second child, Rebecca. And that's how our family grew. And while we're here, we met a lot of good friends that we've known over the years. The Cops, for one, that eventually adopted a child on their own. And God just brought us from that part of despair and not knowing why we weren't blessed like so many other, to see his good mercy and his hand working in us and through the community of Grace Community Church.
All the years that we've been here, my children have gone through the Grace Youth Ministries, and we've been involved in child care and Sunday school. And just, I'm so thankful for Pastor Gary and all of the ministers and pastors and deacons of our church that have just really wrapped their arms around my children and my family. We were going through some really difficult times in our marriage and in our family, and in 2016, God has just really restored our relationships, and I am so in love with our church and our pastor, and just the fellowship that we have with believers here in our home group has been just such a life source for us, and I just am so thankful to the Lord for the things that he's done, and I'm so excited for the things that he's going to do, and I'm so glad that we're a part of Grace Community Church.
I just want to thank God for his faithfulness and especially for healing me of an incurable blood disease. The doctor had told me, and it was in 1994, that God had showed mercy and grace and healed me. And I want to thank Pastor Gary and the elders for their wonderful leadership. And I want to tell everybody I love them, and you're my family. Thank you.
My wife Kathy and I started attending Grace in 95, and it was basically a compromise. She came from kind of a Pentecostal background, and I came from a conservative Baptist background, so we decided on Grace as a compromise. And immediately when we came to Grace, the worship was really difficult for me. I wasn't used to that kind of worship, and to be honest, I actually started coming to church late because it was so hard for me. And for those who know me, I detest being late. And so that was a big statement for me. But I hung in there, and God got a hold of me. And I love the worship now, and it's the most awesome thing, and it's really transformed my relationship with God. So I'm so thankful for what Grace has done in my life through the worship.
January 29th of 1995, my life and the lives of my family members were changed forever. My mom was pregnant with our sixth child, and she went into labor, and there were some complications, and so she had to be picked up by ambulance and taken to the hospital. And later on that day, Katie was born, and she was born with a hole in her heart, and she also had Down syndrome. And typically that hole has to be surgically repaired. But the elders of Grace in our small group at the time came and prayed over Katie, and that hole in her heart was healed, so she didn't have to have surgery. But because of her Down syndrome and some other different health issues, she was in the hospital for, I think, about 2 weeks. And during that time, obviously, there were lots of medical bills and things, and so she was home, but you know, we kind of felt the stress of those bills. And one day we got a check in the mail. It was for $777, and it said it was from our Heavenly Father from across the Crystal Sea. And that just totally spoke volumes to me and our family, who had been going to Grace for several years at that point, that not only was this a church where God was present, but you also felt the love and the support of all of the different members and the different elders and people from the church. And so that's why we love Grace and have been coming all these years, for the people and just the love of Jesus.
Let's stand up and celebrate.
Thank you. Everybody's singing now. Cause we're so happy. Everybody's dancing now. Cause we're so happy. Only we can see your face. See you smiling over us. And I'm singing to celebrate. For joy is in this place.
Morning. This past Thursday, the entire nation celebrated what we call Thanksgiving. It is a tradition that is based on the Pilgrims when they came to Massachusetts in 1620. The Pilgrims gave a feast in which they gave thanks to God for deliverance. God was in their coming from beginning to end. They originally were planning to go to Jamestown, Virginia, but in the middle of the Atlantic, a storm blew them into Chesapeake Bay. They then turned around, headed for the Atlantic, and a storm blew them back into Massachusetts Bay. And they concluded that God was sending them to Massachusetts. And so they then settled in Plymouth, and when they came ashore, even though it was late November and too late for planting and harvest, they discovered caches of food buried around the ground in the Plymouth area. Although 50% of them died during the winter of 1620 and 1621, they survived it, and in the spring, an Indian named Squanto walked into their encampment. Squanto spoke English. And the story of that is something we don't have time to go into. But Squanto taught them how to plant corn and did a number of other things for them that helped them get established. But later, they were caught in a drought, and they were facing famine, and they got on their faces and prayed to God. And for the entire day, they prayed. There'd been no rain. And toward the end of the day, rain came. And it continued to rain so that they actually had a harvest. And then they had a feast giving God thanks and praise for his deliverance of them. It's a wonderful story, but if you're in Christ today, you have received a far greater deliverance. Because Adam, our ancestor, chose to rebel against God and turned aside from life and from light into death and darkness. And we as his descendants inherited death and darkness as well. And we were absolutely unable to do anything to extract ourselves, to extricate ourselves from the condition that we were in of death, and we were headed for eternal death. But God had prepared our deliverance in advance. And God the Son took on flesh, came to earth, and we know him as Jesus of Nazareth. And even though we could do nothing and were without hope, he hung on a Roman cross, and he bore all our sins, all our heartaches, all our griefs and sorrows. He bore our darkness, and he paid our penalty, and he died for us. And God raised him up and seated him on in heaven on his right hand. He raised him up, for he had conquered death. And we, if you are in Christ this morning, if you have received Jesus for what he has done for you by faith, you are delivered. You have come from darkness and death into light and life. And when we take communion, and we take communion every Sunday, and we should, communion is our Thanksgiving feast every Sunday morning, because we give him thanks for this great deliverance that we will never lose. Now, the elements are in the back. The cup and the bread are in the back. They're on either side, and they're down front. And if you would ask the Lord to search your heart so that you go before him openly, and go before him and go pick up these elements and go with solemnity, but great joy and thanksgiving. You are invited to the Lord's table. If you will go pick up the elements, bring them back to your seat. We will eat and drink together. Let us stand together. Ephesians 2 says this, beginning in verse 3. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and sealed us and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 5:8 says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. Notice that he doesn't say you formerly lived in darkness. He says you formerly were darkness. And verse 14 of Ephesians 5 says, therefore it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, our deliverer, and for so great a deliverance. And to Jesus we give all thanksgiving, honor, glory, majesty, dominion, power, and praise in this age and in the age to come. In his name we declare it. Amen. Let us eat and drink together. Thank you.
Seated. At this time, we want to dismiss those that are serving in Adventureland during the second part of our second service. Our junior high students are going to stay in for our Thanksgiving and 30th anniversary service, but I believe it's Victory Sunday for all of our Adventureland kids. So, also, young people, kindergarten through sixth grade, you may be dismissed as well. You can go to my right or your left and follow the signs to Adventureland. And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage them and bless them and be with them today now, in Jesus' name.
That's right. Well, welcome to Grace Community Church, to our 30th year anniversary. I thought we'd do something fun this morning. That is, I want to ask you a few questions. Like, if you were baptized while you were part of this church, go ahead and stand up. You've got a hand. Praise God. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, if you were healed in some way, physically, emotionally, mentally, but you were healed in some way while being part of this church, go ahead and take your stand. Stand up. Praise God. Praise God. All right, how about this one? If you were born in this church, I don't mean the building. But you were born while your family's in this church, or your kids were born going to this church, go ahead and stand up. All right, try another one. How about you were delivered from some bondage or some besetting sin while going to this church, go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Okay, I'll try this one. How many of you met your spouse in this church? Stand up. Okay, one more. If you're believing the best days at Grace Community Church are ahead of us, stand up. All right. Praise God. Okay, remain standing if you would. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a moment. But I was thinking as we approached this anniversary service, I was thinking about all the people who have made Grace Community Church work throughout the years and all the people that were behind the scenes that really made this church work. Of course, God made it work. We give him all the glory and honor. But instrumentally speaking, I'm talking about those people who were behind the scenes that made this church what it is. And as I thought through that list, I thought, there's no doubt in my mind that the top of that list is my wife, Tracy. I tell you, you have no idea the amount of sacrifice, the amount of difficulty, the amount of onslaught of spiritual attack that she has endured so that this church would be successful. And I just am so grateful to God for Tracy.
Thanks.
Well, we're going to have a time of prayer, and I just asked her if she'd lead us in that time of prayer.
Be happy to. Jesus is worth everything, right? Would y'all just thank the Lord with me? I did this first service too. I just am totally overwhelmed by His goodness. Lord, again, I find myself speechless in how to thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy and faithfulness. And if I could, I would just belt out that wonderful hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God. You are so faithful." And we just love you so much and thank you. I just am so privileged, Lord, that you have allowed me to be part of what you're doing here during these days, and for being a part of this church body. This family is what we are. Good, bad, and ugly. We love each other. And we thank you that you love us. And we do look forward to the future, because I do believe that the church's best days are yet coming. They are ahead of us. And so we ask, Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. And we trust you. And we are committed to you, Lord Jesus, forever and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to continue with section two of testimonies.
My family began attending Grace when I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm so thankful for the role that the youth minister here has played in my life. I'm thankful for people like Steve Hammond, who my second Sunday at Grace asked me if I was going to sit down or step up, and the urgency that that put in me to make good use of my time to take risks for the Lord. I'm thankful for families like the Burrises, who every Sunday night opened their home up to 30 to 40 high school students, for connection, where we had a worship time, Bible study, and dinner together. And I'm thankful just for the several trips we got to take to Mexico, where we painted murals, we built churches, we got to visit cardboard villages, and one time put on a carnival. I just want to say a big thank you to all the parents, the staff, and the leaders who served in the youth ministry during the years of 2004 to 2006, because you made a difference in my life.
In the mid-90s, the Lord sent a great move of His Holy Spirit on our church. And one night, well, I was deep in prayer and just really out of it with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Gary came over and spoke words over me that I had told the Lord many years before that. And it was this, that like Abraham, I am a friend of God. At that night, Gary came and prayed over me, walked away, and he came back and put his hands on me. He said, "Oh, by the way, Melanie, God wants you to know that you are His friend."
One day, a gentleman named Jamie Lash spoke about Romans 6 and spoke about being a new Christian and being challenged by, you know, a sin that he could not overcome. Well, even though I was reconciling myself with the Lord, I had a sin also that I couldn't overcome. And I really thought about what he said. And so in my quiet time, I went before the Lord and I desperately called out to him. And I told him, "I can't do this in my own strength. I need you to strengthen me." And I remembered what the Lord said to Paul, that in his weakness, his strength would be perfected. And so I took a hold of that and I overcame that sin. Actually, God overcame it for me. And since then, I've been freed of that, and I've been able to share in ministry with other people what God did for me. And I'm so thankful to God, and I'm so thankful to Grace Community Church for bringing that message into my life and let me be free of that sin.
So this is my son, Brighton. And when he was 5 years old, he was diagnosed with autism, pervasive development disorder. But more importantly, his brain would have seizures, which would lead him into violent outbursts. And we ended up having a day where he came to us and said, Dad, my brain's not working. And it was very emotional for us. So we put him into several psychiatric hospitals, and they eventually told us that it would be best to put him in a mental institute and give him up to the state. And so I came to Grace Community Church late in 2006, on the eve of his birthday, and went to the house of prayer here from probably midnight to 4 a.m. and just prayed and said, Lord, you have to give me my son back. I just challenged God. I said, please give him back to me. I said, you don't have to cure him of everything, but I have to be able to talk to my son and teach him about you and share the Bible and the gospel with him. And I went to bed about 4 a.m. on Brighton's birthday. And about 10 a.m, we got a call from the hospital, and the head of the hospital called and said, I've got hundreds of patients. I can't explain this, but I woke up anxious this morning with your son's name on my mind. And he said, I rushed to the hospital, I checked on your son, and he said, get a suitcase together, come get him. He doesn't belong here. I'm wrong, we were wrong. He's gonna be fine. I can't explain it, but I don't think he belongs here anymore. And ever since that day, back in late 2006, Brighton's never had a seizure. He's never had any violent issues. He's living great with us. I got to baptize him this year, 2017, and welcome him into an eternal home together. And we just couldn't be prouder of the man that he's become. And I'm so thankful for Grace and obviously for what God's done for us.
I knew Pastor Gary and a lot of the people that started Grace with him before they actually started Grace. And at that time, I wasn't called to come to Grace yet. But I kept hearing all these wonderful, positive things about it and about how the worship was great and the fellowship was great and everything was great. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go check it out. So it was the week before Easter, I decided, well, I'll just come for a visit and reconnect with some old friends. And it was at one of the elementary schools at that time. So the minute I went into that cafeteria, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the worship was better than I had heard even described. So I truly felt like being home. So when I left, I thought, I had just intended to visit that one time. But the next week was Easter, and I couldn't imagine being anywhere else except with my family at Easter. So I went back, and the rest is history. God really taught me so much about going to a deeper level of worship and deeper intimacy with him and believing him for bigger things and bigger miracles. And God really used the people of Grace as family.
In 2002, I was going through a really dark time in my life, and I found out that my wife was cheating on me. I was going through a divorce actually that very week. I met my dad for the first time in my life. I had my music venue raided by the police, and then a friend of mine got in a car wreck right in front of my venue. It was a very dark time in my life. Three different people that same week all came to me and they said, you should go to Grace. And they didn't know each other. And one of those people, I was buying a flip house, and it was Steve Hedlund, and he was there. And he goes, oh, you should come to Grace. And when the first person said it, I was like, yeah, sure. And the second person said it, I was like, yeah, this is okay. And then by the third one, I was like, I think this is probably a sign. And I showed up, and Gary said, we're gonna spend the next 6 weeks talking about Psalm 23. And I thought, well, Psalm 23 is about this big, but okay, I'm listening. The verse that they were on at that point was, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I could quote the whole sermon to you and the whole series to you because it was exactly what I needed to hear at the time. And the most important thing I took from that was it is something that you're walking through, and it is not the end. This is not where you're going to live forever. So even though there is a dark time in your life, God is bringing you through this to get to a higher ground. And that was the first week of February of 2002, and I've been coming for 15 and a half years.
Since coming to Grace, We have just had numerous opportunities to serve alongside our kids, from Feeding Frenzy to collecting toys for Mexico, and even just the sharing God's love in a practical way by distributing light bulbs, flowers, going to the laundromat, putting coins in. So my kids have grown up with opportunities to serve. And I recall one time in particular when Grace was serving as a shelter after one of the hurricanes, and we came up here to help, just lend a hand wherever we could. And I brought my daughter Scout with me, and while we were serving, this little girl came up to Scout and said, "I just really love the shoes you're wearing." And Scout, of course, said, "Oh, well, thank you very much." And, you know, we continued with our time here serving. And as we were driving home, Scout was talking about this little girl and saying, "I just can't imagine being forced to leave my house without taking anything, just wearing the clothes and the shoes that I have on." And it just really affected her. And she's like, "Mom," she said, "I need to show God's love." So we turned around, came back to Grace. Scout took off her shoes and gave them to the little girl. And I just appreciate the example of people at Grace who serve, who are willing to serve and show God's love in a practical way.
In 2006, when we were moving into this building, I was actually helping to carry boxes up the stairs over here, and had problems breathing, and actually had to sit down on the steps and be helped out. Went in for a doctor's appointment at Baylor in Dallas, and specialists began to look at me, and they thought I had lymphoma at first, and they cut my throat here and took out 3 lymph nodes in surgery. And the good news is I did not have lymphoma. The bad news is I had sarcoidosis. Never heard of this before, and it was terminal. So they told my husband
that she would have less than a year to live, and to go home and make her comfortable. They'd just give her some medicine to help her with the pain when she was dying. And I remember at the end we walked out and said, "Well, we're at the limit of what man knows, and we have to trust God."
As time went on, I got weaker and weaker. I was in stage 3. I was going into my lungs being crystallized, so I had a hard time getting air in and out. I was getting ready for church, and I'd been asking the Lord, "Lord, are you going to heal me of this?" And this peace just came over me of stop struggling. And so I just completely surrendered to the Lord. And I told William, I said, "I'm just going to completely surrender this to the Lord. And whatever time I have left, I just want to be able to glorify him." And I went up to the front of the church, and at the time, I think there were 8 elders or 6. Every one of them came up and put their hand on me like spokes in a wheel and began to pray. And all at once, I felt these electrical shocks just move through my body. And I could breathe. I instantly breathed. I could feel my body being mended. And I just threw my hands up in the air, and I said, "I have been healed in Jesus' name." And I go bounding down the aisle, throw the front doors open over here at the sanctuary. William's standing there, and he goes, "What just happened?" And I said, "I have just been healed in Jesus' name." And so we went to the doctor that week, and they took the x-rays, and all of my lymph nodes that were the size of navel oranges all throughout my chest were scarred over and dying and dead. God gave me all new lymph nodes. So every lymph node in my body is perfectly normal, perfectly formed.
So it went from a navel orange to the standard size.
When I look back, I don't even recognize the me that I was when I started here. I came so broken and wounded, and the Grace body accepted me. That sign that said, "Come as you are, you'll be loved," is still a testimony to me of what happened to me since I came to Grace Community Church. I never saw anyone love Jesus the way that they did, and I never saw anyone love me so unconditionally. And the Lord healed deep places in me that I didn't even know were there that needed healing, just deep emotional healing. And he transformed my life. And then he brought my husband. While I was here, he brought us together. And I'm so thankful for the ministry of Grace Community Church.
In 2003, 2004, Howard had a severe infection, and he was given a medicine called Levaquin. And he had to take it for a long, long time because the infection did not clear up. And one of the very unfortunate side effects is messing with mental thoughts. So Howard had a breakdown, and it was horrifying and terrifying, and I didn't know what to do.
I'd always thought to be myself to be a balanced,
happy person. I started having thoughts that were not rational, started saying things in my home that just didn't quite make sense, having grandiose thoughts and dreams and visions in my own head, not audible. One day, it was a work day, and for whatever reason, I didn't go to work, and I just had to get out of the house and walk to church. So I left my house in Southwest Arlington, walked all the way to Cooper and Park Row, and as I was walking, what was on my head was every time the light turns red across the street. So every light was not a green light, it was a red light. But the Lord got me there. And when I got to Grace Community, one of the dear pastors that we know and love saw my state.
Pastor Gary saw Howard at that he intervened at that moment, helped me get him to the hospital. And from that moment on, the Grace Community family gathered around us. Every hospital bill got paid. Miss Margaret made certain that our children got Christmas gifts that year because it was in December. We never missed a house payment. We never went without food or rides or whatever. And I have never been so grateful for such a surrounding of the love of the followers of Christ.
Grace Community Church has been the rock that does not roll, that has been faithful in season and out of season. Thank you, Grace Community Church, for helping this sheep when he was lost.
Stand up and worship him.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for all you've done. Praise you, Father, for the latter will be greater than the former. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just lift it up together.
I want to pray.
It wasn't after we got here until we actually started to see how you can actually have a relationship with God the same way I would have a relationship with my wife, the same way I would have a relationship with my friends, the same way I would have a relationship with my family, through the different emphasis on cross-cultural ministry and just some of the other groups that we were a part of, we were blessed with to be able to understand that now we're doing things and we're actually digging underneath the surface to create new relationships with our peers and also new relationships with God himself.
Shortly after coming here, we joined a home group, and we did not realize at the time, we just thought it was a group of friends. We did not realize at the time that God had planned for us to be in that home group of people that knew everything about our situations because their kids and our kids all went to school together, and they just knew where we were in our life. So in 2012, we had a very close and trusted family member and employee who cheated us out of tens of thousands of dollars. And we thought we might lose the business. We thought the client that we served might end up getting fired. So I ended up being on the road for weeks into months, trying to make it right for our client. And it was the support of our home group back at home, the Morgans, the Driggers, the Smiths, and the Hagans, that encouraged Stephanie, lifted her up, and made sure that our family was good while I was gone so long. And that was God's provision for us before we knew that we needed it.
After several failed relationships, including a broken marriage, the Lord led me back to Grace, and I started just by going to the house of prayer. And there I found just tremendous healing in ways that I couldn't have ever imagined. The Lord healed his relationship with me there. He also healed what I thought relationships should be and showed me what he thought they were. And it was there at the house of prayer that I met my husband. God's just so good. He is the restorer, he is the redeemer. And I'm just so thankful to him and for his forgiveness and for his love, and that he never gives up on us no matter what. And I'm just very thankful.
I suffered a heart attack in June of this year. God saved me, literally saved my life at that time. And he put things, people, and services in place that there's no question he was involved in this. So I thank him for that.
In about 2010, after searching for a church for a whole year, we found Grace Community Church. And from the first time we came in, we felt the presence of God. It was here at Grace that I heard the gospel message for the first time and really understood it. Shortly after that, I gave my life to Jesus, and we were baptized. Not too long after that, we found ourselves in Wayne Kenyon's Freedom Ministry group. I was set free from a lot of stuff. We were set free from a lot of stuff, and we also learned to help set other people free as well. Along came a guy named Tom Grossman, and he did a school of prayer, and we went to that, and that was the first time I'd really heard God's voice. I became part of the house of prayer after that, and continued to learn how to pray and grow in prayer and intimacy with the Lord. And now I help lead other people into that. I myself personally have received numerous physical healings while I've been here. The most recent one that was real dramatic, I had blown my knee out while we were moving from one house to another. And I was really in a lot of pain. I could barely even walk on it. And I came to church that day in faith, and I just had people keep praying for it and praying for it and praying for it. And then finally, the last person that prayed for it, they prayed that I would be healed so that I could do what God was calling me to do. And in the very next step, it was healed, completely healed, and I haven't had any problems with it since.
God has worked amazing things in my life. Not only has he delivered me from a 4-year prison sentence, a 15-year prison sentence, and he got me out in 4 years, but he's delivered me from a methamphetamine addiction, 17 years that I was shackled down with it. 4 years ago, man, all I knew was a bunch of heavy religion, and God started to reveal to me grace and what grace is, and to start to identify myself with the person of Jesus Christ. And so as God began to reveal truths to my life, I began to pray that he put people in my family's life, my son and my wife's life, to minister truth to them when I cannot be there with them. And probably not very long after that, I call my wife and she tells me, I went to this church today. And these people there, they're awesome. I've never had people come up and greet me and love me like these people are. I said, really? What's the name of this church? And she says, it's called Grace Community. And all I could do was just smile because God had begun to reveal grace in my life. And yet, he brought them to this place called Grace.
Well, Wayne and I have been worshiped God in churches around the world. And after our taking our MA and PhD studies at a seminary, we never expect to learn much in church, and we didn't very often. But when we came to Grace, and Gary and the staff have used so many Bible verses, and we've learned all kinds of practical new things. And I even find I have to take notes to go over them again. And we just praise God for what he is doing here at Grace, and we're happy to be a part of this group.
I was very sick from birth until just recently with severe life-threatening allergies and asthma. I could barely go certain places without getting really sick. Jesus did a clean sweep for all of us, healed of asthma and allergies completely, have no problems anymore. And because of our testimony, my father, who was unsaved, got saved 6 months after our testimony, which was right before he died in August.
So I grew up for 12 years in a really small church with nobody my age. So I felt really, really lonely and excluded from the church body. So whenever it was time for my family and I to find another church to go to, I was just about ready to give up on going to church. I was in a hard time of my life, and no matter what church we visited, I seemed to be excluded from everybody and really, really lonely. And so one Sunday, my parents were arguing with me. They wanted to come visit Grace, and I just didn't want to go to church that Sunday. And they finally dragged me all the way up here to come visit Grace. And as soon as I walked through the door, I felt like I was at home, and I had never felt this way any other time in my life, that the church was actually my home and that I belonged there. And so after visiting the youth and meeting everybody and making five new friends on the very first day, I felt the connection with everybody that I needed and that I had lacked all of my life. And for the first time, I felt that I was a part of God's family. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all the youth and to all the youth leaders who helped me and accepted me into y'all's family.
I came to Grace in the Cornerstone. I came in the first time sick, and I left healed. God healed me through people I met here, and he's done so many amazing things since I've been here.
Well, being here at Grace has changed me tremendously. Attending church every Sunday reminds me of the fact that Christ died for my sake. He forgave me as a sinner, and that has helped me a lot, to forgive somebody that hurt me, something that I didn't know to do before. I forgive now easily because it keeps reminding me each day that Christ died for my sake. And if he can forgive me, why not me forgiving anybody that hurt me? And I really thank God for that. I love Grace so much.
God first brought me to Grace using my children with the mom's nursing room, which progressed to Adventureland. And I felt safe there because I knew two people would be with my children at all times. And now my whole family goes to a home group where everybody loves God. And I also enjoy focusing on volunteering in Hoops for Hopes and on the camera. And I even got to go on my first mission trip to Mexico with Grace. And I love focusing on God in the G-Hop and sharing his love with others.
For many years as a child, I prayed for God to give me many godly friends. And through a friend, the Lord brought me to the Cornerstone. And I joined a small group, and I had many sisters, and they all loved me and showed me the love of God. I wanted to work closer, so the Lord gave me a job at Chick-fil-A right here on Cooper and Barton, and I loved it, and he taught me so many things. And after that, my mom said, you know, you're doing great, but you're never going to be happy living here at home. You need to go find somewhere else to live. So, and right just before that, Emma Geisel told me about the Cornerstone houses, and now I live in the Joy House, which has been just the most incredible experience I've ever had. And then I was like, okay, Lord, I need help paying bills because they're growing. And so now I work at UTA in the admissions office. I've gotten my foot in the door in a professional job, and it's only by the Lord getting me there. He made all the connections, he did everything, and I'm provided for in every way.
In 2014, I came to a place where I was in pretty bad depression, to where all I would do is sit in a recliner and do nothing. And there was one night, someone said to me, Michael, nothing's gonna change until you get right with Jesus. And I didn't really know how to handle that. And I was laying in bed that night, and I was reading a book called Return of the Prodigal Son. And I hear in my spirit the Lord say, Michael, go to the Grace House of Prayer. And I look at the clock and it's 1 a.m. And I say, Lord, it's 1 a.m. And he's like, Michael, I don't care. Go to the Grace House of Prayer. So I get up, I get into the car, I start driving there, and all I do is just bawling and crying. I don't even know how I got to the church. And all I can get out of my mouth is, Daddy, I'm coming home. I walk into the house of prayer, and I feel this weight lift off of me. And I knew at that point the Lord had set me free of the depression that I'd been in for so long. And I stayed a whole hour there just praising God, singing, crying, writing to him. And at that point, I was able to begin the journey of learning what it is to walk in purity from an addiction to pornography for many years. And to this day, I'm celebrating over 3.5 years of freedom in Christ, to know what it is to walk in purity with him. And I just want to give him praise and glory and honor for revealing himself to me and drawing himself to me so that I can know what it is to be in love with him.
Well, we praise God for these last 30 years. God has been so faithful. He's done so many wonderful things. But the question is, what's next? Will the next chapter be better than all the previous chapters? Well, we don't know what God is going to do, but we do know how we need to position ourselves in order for that to happen. I just want to briefly remind you of three things that we need to be doing so the next chapters will be better than the previous ones. The first thing that we've got to have, if the best days of Grace Community Church are ahead of us, the first thing we've got to have is fervent prayer. It is a fervent prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much, says in James chapter 5. So in the years to come, we want to accomplish much. What is it going to take? It's going to take fervent prayer. The book of Acts, we see God doing so much in the early church. Why? Because they were devoted to prayer. You know, a church never can go beyond its level of prayer. Anything that any activity the church is doing beyond its level of prayer is just hype. It's just busyness. We want to see true kingdom power and true kingdom results, so we got to be a praying people. That's why I've asked everybody who considers Grace Community Church to be your home church, to be willing to be part of our GHOP, our Grace House of Prayer, at least 1 hour a week. Be part of these meetings, so we can raise that water level of prayer here and see breakthrough after breakthrough. Like water rising on a dam, we'll see the breakthroughs come. So the first thing we've got to have is fervent prayer. And by the way, when you pray, don't do all the talking. If you had a meeting with the wisest person in the world, it wouldn't make any sense if you did all the talking, would it? So when you go into your times with God, pray, but also take time to listen to him with an open Bible, because the way we're going to accomplish more things in the future is by doing what he wants done. I think it's interesting that Jerry, when he did the communion devotional, read Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about that we were saved by grace and we've been raised up with Christ, Ephesians 2:6, and seated with him in heavenly places right now, not just in the future, but right now. In some very real way, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, where is Christ seated? He's seated on a throne. What do you do from a throne? You rule. So how do we rule with Christ right now? Well, the number one way we rule with Christ right now is through our prayer life. I really do believe that when we finally get to heaven and know as we're known, as we see his face, the Bible says we'll know as we're known, that we're going to find out that almost every good thing that happened on earth was a result of somebody praying it into being. Why? Because we are seated with Christ. You are a history maker in your prayer life. History isn't just happening in some haphazard way, and it's not, you know, forged out by fatalism either. History is a result of our prayers. And so you are a history maker. So the best days of grace are ahead of us if we all will embrace that. We'll become fervent in prayer, all of us. We need all of us. The second thing we need to make sure we're going to have the best days ahead of us is be faithful in our service, or better put this way, faithful servants. You know, greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by servanthood. And there's a difference between being one who serves occasionally and being a servant. See, if you're one who just serves occasionally, what that means is you are still in control of your life and your schedule. You serve when you want to, when it's convenient for you, but you're still the captain of your ship. But when you decide, no, I am going to become a servant because Jesus is my Lord and Master, then that changes everything. Because now, at one time, you say, Lord, you now determine what I do. I'm a servant. I'll do what you say. So the big question is, to all of us in this room, is in live stream, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because if he's the Lord of your life, that means you've decided to be his servant and do what he says. And the way that we're going to have the best chapters of Grace Community Church ahead of us is if we are his servants doing what he says, because he's the head of the church. Amen? Amen? So we need to be fervent in prayer. We need to be faithful in our service, or faithful servants. And finally, we need to be giving financially, praying fervently, serving faithfully, giving financially. And anytime you talk about money in church, there's always people who are uncomfortable, and I understand this, because there's been so much abuse in the name of money done by certain churches and by certain televangelists and so forth. I understand this. But the truth is this: God has clearly put out his plan for how we are to handle our money. Not our plan, it's not my plan, it's his plan. And here's his plan. His plan is that we all participate in it. It's called tithing. The word tithe simply means this. It means a tenth part. It means that all the streams of revenue and blessing that come your direction, you take a tenth of that and bring it to the storehouse, according to Malachi chapter 3, your place of worship. What for? So God's work can get done. That's his plan. No matter what you make, it's all proportional. You make a lot of money, a tithe is a tenth of that. You make a little bit of money, a tithe is a tenth of that. And we all do it. You do it, I do it. We all bring it to the storehouse. What for? So his work can get done. And here's the deal. God says, if you'll do that, since nobody can outgive God, he's going to open up heaven and pour out blessings on you until you overflow. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 3. But here's the other side of the deal that most people don't think about, and that is this. If we decide to hold back on God because we're in unbelief, we decide to hold back on him, God will not let you walk in blessing by holding back. So what the Old Testament prophets talked about is when you do hold back on a tithe and don't bring it to the storehouse, God will put a hole in your purse, a hole in your pocket. And you actually do worse with 100% than you would with 90%. So that's the deal. So God wants to bless us, but he wants us to walk in obedience. So all of us do this, and God's work gets done. But here's the beauty. It goes even beyond that, is we can all give even more than a tithe. And Jesus says this: if you do that, whatever you give, you'll be given 10,000% interest on it in the kingdom to come. Now, we don't know how money works in the kingdom to come, but we do know this. We know that when you get there, you're glad you have it. So here's the deal. We can give and participate in the ministry, and as we do that, God's work gets done. We store treasures in heaven, and he blesses us even right now. So if we're going to have the best days ahead of us, then we all just need to be part of that. Let's all own that. So we can, because really, if we're going to see greater things happen, it is going to cost money. But it's all of us participating together in accomplishing that. So if the best days of grace are ahead of us, we must pray fervently, serve faithfully, and give financially. Real simple. Now, some of you might be thinking, if I do that, some people are going to think I'm crazy. But here's what I want to close with. You're not crazy if you do that. See, the Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, never in vain, never empty. God notices everything we do, and he promises to reward everything we do. He goes in beyond that. Jesus says, no one who's left houses and land and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, that they will not receive 100 times as much in this life and eternal life. He talks about rewards in heaven to come. He talks about you were faithful with a few things. Now enter into the joy of your master, and I'm going to entrust many things to you in the kingdom to come. I mean, what tremendous wealth is coming for us because we are obeying the Lord. So you're not crazy if you live in light of that truth. You're not crazy if you live in light of eternity. In fact, all of us who decide to do that are some of the smartest people on the earth. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close with Great is Your Glory song. By the way, we're singing some of the songs that our Grace Worship team has put together and it's been on CD in the past. And we just it's good to pull some of these songs we've sung in the past. What a great blessing. But we're going to close with this because our heart's desire more than anything else is that God will get great glory in the days to come. Let's sing that, believe in that. These testimonies of healing and deliverance, and I believe God wants to do some today. So we're going to close by those of you that need a touch from God, you need God to heal you or deliver you from something, go ahead and slip out of your seat right now and come down to the front, and we're going to pray for you as we close. Go ahead and slip right out of your seat right now quickly and come, and we're going to pray for you. An easy thing for God to do. It's an an easy thing for God to do. Lord, would you let faith rise up in this room right now? Invite people to come down and pray for these who are here. Just come down and lay hands on one of their shoulders and just begin to pray right away. You don't have to wait for anybody. Just begin to pray. God is going to touch some people right now. Start praying. Just start praying. Lord Jesus, I think of all the times in the Gospels that said, and you felt compassion and healed the sick. You felt compassion and raised the dead. So, Lord, we know that you still feel compassion, that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. So, Lord, we know you feel compassion for those who have broken bodies right now and broken hearts and broken minds. So, Lord, we ask you, release your kingdom power now. Release your kingdom power. Let it come. Jesus, you have all authority in heaven and earth. All you got to do is speak a word. We ask you to speak it, and I speak it in your name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Be healed in Jesus' name. Let it come, Lord. We receive it. We believe it. We thank you. Let it come, Lord. Even now, we thank you for the hundreds and even thousands of people that you've healed in this church. Lord, we're praying now you would heal even tens and hundreds, even now, more, Lord. Let it come. We invite the minister, the Spirit of God, to come and move and do what only you can do. Come, Lord. Just cast off unbelief right now. Cast it off and just let expectation fill your heart. Pray believing you receive now. Believe, expect it, receive it from God. It's in our imagination. This is faith. We're believing God today. We're expecting him. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord's doing it. He's doing it right now. And some of you know it. He's doing it. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your work right now. We ask you to bring it to completion, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we close, we just ask, Lord, you fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit today, all of us. We love you, Jesus. We love you with all our heart. Father, give us more love for the Son of God than ever before, more passion. Lord, stretch out our hearts today, Lord, hearts that really have compassion for the broken, the needy. Help us see beyond ourselves like we never have before, Lord. Take us further and release more kingdom power, Lord. Lord, I pray that none of our prayers would fall to the ground and crackle, Lord, but our prayers would be bring about great glory to you, even now, Lord. And Lord, we commit Grace Community Church to your hands, asking you, Jesus, as the head of the church, to cause this next chapter to be the best ever, only to be beat by the chapter after that. And after that. So, Lord, we're praying for great things, not for our name's sake, but for yours. Because you deserve it. So we just, again, put the church, put all of our lives, all of our family members, we place in your hands, trusting you, Lord, and looking forward to all you're going to do. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. Praise God. And give somebody a hug. Don't leave here without hugging somebody here. We have Connection Coffee in the corners. We'd love to answer any questions you might have. We're Grace. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.